Yesterday, the church met here for their monthly conference meeting, and we had a worship service, and I felt a burden to preach from the second chapter of the book of Philippians. And I really have a mind to go back to that chapter this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to a church in Philippi 2,000 years ago. It was a wonderful church. And Paul writes them this wonderful letter, four chapters. But, beloved, this letter is as much addressed to Cool Springs Church today as it was to the church at Philippi 2,000 years ago. Because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for us in 2021. Just as profitable for us as it was for them, if we will read it and study it and meditate on it and apply it to our lives. Aren't you glad that we're not in the world today without any guidance from God? We have this holy book, and it'll bless us as we read it and study it. I want to come back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, where the Apostle Paul would instruct the church in this way: let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul is telling the church at Philippi and telling us how we ought to think. Let this mind be in you. God has given all of us a mind, but it's up to us what we do with it. Now, a man who is dead in sin and has never been born again only has the flesh, so he cannot have the mind of Christ. You have to be born again in order to be able to have the mind of Christ. You may say, well, Brother Sam, how can I get born again? Well, you can't. Jesus did not say to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, ye must get born again. He said, ye must be born again. And that little word be is a very interesting word. It means that something has to be done to you. You don't go out and just decide you're going to get born again. You are born again by the power, the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit. You must be born again. But once you are born again, now you've got two natures. You've got your old sinful nature, and now you've got this new nature that is of the Spirit, and it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. So then you and I have to make a decision. Am I going to follow my old fleshly nature and have the mind of the world and the mind of Satan? Or am I going to choose to follow this new nature and have the mind of Christ? When Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, he's telling us that you and I have the ability to choose what we think about. And what you think about is going to determine a lot about your life. As a man thinketh, so is he. The Bible makes that very clear in the book of Proverbs. So what you think about all day long is very important, because it's going to have an outcome as to what kind of life you have on this earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the Apostle Paul describes to us what the mind of Jesus Christ was. He made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What was the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ was to humble himself and not go around bragging and boasting. I mentioned yesterday that Jesus was born in an animal stall in Bethlehem. Where were you born? Most of us were born in a hospital. Some of you are old enough to have been born at home, but you got to be pretty old to have been born at home. Most of us were born in a nice hospital with a doctor present and good nurses and a sterile room. Our Savior was born in an animal barn, laid in a feed trough, wrapped. His precious body was wrapped in rags, really, just swaddling clothes. He humbled himself. And then the text tells us that he didn't make himself of any reputation. Are you ever prone to brag? Now, I know you're going to say, no, Brother Sam, I'm never prone to brag. But I could ask a few questions that might stir up your mind and cause you to acknowledge, yeah. Jesus Christ built the universe, but he never went around bragging about it. When he was a little boy in Nazareth, I mentioned this yesterday, walking around with his boyhood friends and saw the mountains surrounding Nazareth, he remembered the very day he spoke them into existence. When the sun came up in the morning, he remembered the day he spoke it into existence. When he saw the eagle flying, he remembered the day he designed the eagle's wings. He's God. He's the Creator. But he didn't go around telling people about it. I remember when I was in school, I'll share something with you this morning. When I was in school in Jeffersonville, we were in shop, and I'm not a handyman. My wife can tell you that. I never have been. But I did build a gate. Had a lot of help, but I built a gate. Did a little bit of welding, which is amazing. That gate is still down at our old home place, and I've told a lot of people about it. Now, y'all think, well, he's just bragging this morning. Well, if you saw the gates, you'd think there's nothing to brag about. But I did. Made a little gate. And I just wanted to brag about it. Jesus Christ created the universe. Are y'all listening? He made the heavens and the earth. And he never went around bragging about it. He made himself of no reputation. Do you have the mind of Christ today? Maybe you graduated from high school with honors and college with honors, and those are good things. That's honorable. Maybe you have a great job and you do a good job on your job, and those are good things. But please, beloved, don't be boastful. Don't brag. Jesus Christ had the mind to humble himself. Wouldn't this world be a wonderful place today if everybody in it was just humble and preferring one another above ourselves? Now, that's not going to happen out in the world, I understand it. But surely in the church, we can do that. Jesus Christ didn't make himself of any reputation. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death. Do you have the mind of obedience today, wanting Christ's will in your life? Do I want that? Hopefully so. I pray for that every day. So, here is the mind of Christ. And Paul is saying to us, I want you all to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That little word, let, lets me know that we have a choice as to what we think about. Now, let me tell you, if you choose to watch ugly things on TV, if you choose to watch pornography, if you choose to just watch violence all the time, that's what you're going to think about. But if you choose to be around wholesome people and have wholesome conversations and read the Bible and pray, all of a sudden you're beginning to have the mind of Christ. That's a choice that all of us have. In other words, beloved, you and I can choose to have the mind of the flesh, which is going to be full of envy and jealousy. Any of you deal with jealousy? That's a common sin in our world. Facebook adds to that. Do you see, if you have the mind of the world, you're going to be angry, you're going to be sad, you're going to be depressed, you're going to be jealous, you're going to be having self-pity. Who wants all that? You can choose not to have that kind of mind. You can choose to have the mind of Christ, who humbled himself. And Jesus just went around doing good. To me, one of the greatest commentaries on the life of Jesus is in the Acts of the Apostles, where Luke said, he went about doing good. If Jesus found somebody hungry, he fed them. He found somebody lonely, he visited with them. He found somebody sick, he would bless them. Jesus just went about doing good. And you and I ought to have that mind today. I'm telling you, there's opportunities everywhere for us to do good. If you're a child in school today, I can promise you there are children in your class that need your encouragement, that need your kindness, and they don't need to be bullied. They don't need to be criticized. They don't need to be made fun of. They need to see Christ in us. Now you say, well, Brother Sam, I just don't believe that it's possible for human beings on this earth to have the mind of Christ. I just don't think that's possible. Well, Paul gives us three examples right here in this chapter of people that did have the mind of Christ. And I want to look at those with you this morning. Let's begin with the Apostle Paul himself. Notice in verse 17, Paul would say to this church, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Now, it's important, beloved, for us to remember where Paul was when he wrote this letter. It is called an epistle, it's called a prison epistle because Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter. He's a prisoner in Rome. And you may say, well, why is this man in prison? Well, I can assure you he's not in prison for stealing. He's not in prison for committing murder. He's not in prison for any of those reasons. You know why he's in prison? For doing exactly what I'm doing right now, preaching Jesus Christ. That's why they locked him up. I want to tell you, you and I are blessed. I mentioned yesterday that the first century Christians had it rough physically. They were being persecuted. You see, they crucified the leader, Jesus, and then they went after every follower of Jesus they could find. And they would either put them in prison or they would kill them. Some of them they would, and you can read this in Fox's Book of Martyrs. This is well documented. This is not something a preacher in the 21st century made up. They would tie Christians to wild horses and have the horses pull their limbs out. They would pour molten lead into their heads. If they threw them to the lions, it was merciful. And here is Paul in prison for Jesus' sake. How many of y'all have spent one night in jail for Jesus' sake? I'm telling you, we're on the easy street today, aren't we? Come on, folks. We come over here to this lovely building on a Sunday morning, and we gather here and we can just sing all we want to about Jesus. I can get up here and tell y'all about Jesus. I don't have to worry about anybody coming in here with guns and swords arresting me and hauling me off. Now that day could come. And I can assure you there are powers that be in America who would be glad to silence the gospel. I understand that. But so far, we still have liberty. Paul didn't have it. He's locked away in a jail. And you would think, being over there in a prison in Rome, he'd be feeling sorry for himself. He'd be down and out. He'd be writing them a letter, wanting them to feel sorry for him. No. No. He's got the mind of Christ. He says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. How many of y'all today are rejoicing in the Lord? Paul said to them, rejoice in the Lord always. That is, at all times and in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, we don't rejoice in our circumstances always because they can change. I can assure you, I have not rejoiced that I had this upper respiratory virus that put me in bed for 4 days. I didn't rejoice in that. We don't rejoice in a lot of our circumstances. Sometimes our circumstances are wonderful. Sometimes they're not. They change. I like that song that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when troubles like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Not always with my circumstances. The man who wrote that song had lost his children in a boat accident, crossing the Atlantic, going to England after they had lost everything in a Chicago fire. And he got this telegram from his wife, saved alone. She was the only one of the family saved. And he got on a ship to cross the Atlantic to go be with her. And when the captain of the ship let him know where the ship went down and his children were lost, he was inspired to write this song, it is well with my soul. Not with circumstances. But I want to tell you, my beloved, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do y'all hear me? Paul said, rejoice in the Lord, not in circumstances. Our Lord is unchanging. He is glorious. He'll be the same tomorrow He is today. How many of y'all believe that? And so Paul, even in jail, is rejoicing. And considering it an honor to be sacrificed for Christ's sake. He had the mind of Christ. Now, notice, if you will, in verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that's Timothy, that also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. You see, Paul loved this church at Philippi, and he wanted them to be cared for by a pastor that would really care for them. Are you following me? And he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you all, that also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own. Now, the all, I think, in verse 21 is talking about all the other preachers. Did you know that preachers can sometimes get in the flesh and they care only about themselves? And I think that's what Paul is saying here. All these other preachers that I could send, they don't care for Christ. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, beloved, ministers of the gospel are to care for the flock, like a mother would care for her baby. And Paul says Timothy's like that. He loves you all. He'll care for you. Listen to what he says. All seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him. That as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So Timothy was a young man, a young minister, who was willing to devote his life for the welfare of the churches. I tell you, that's wonderful, isn't it? How many of y'all want to sign up for the ministry? It's not something you volunteer for. It's a calling from God. And this brother, this young man, had the calling, and he was giving himself over to the mind of Christ. Rather than going out seeing after himself, he's out there seeing after the people. And Paul felt like, if I send Timothy, y'all will be cared for by a man that really will love you. Now, there's another example right here. Let's look at verse 25 of Philippians 2. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier. You know, a lot of us have Bible names. I've got one. I'm thankful they named me Samuel. That's a good Bible name. A lot of y'all have Bible names. I'm glad my parents didn't name me Epaphroditus. That would have been the laughing stock. I couldn't have spelled it in the first place. But I want to tell you, Epaphroditus was a wonderful young man. And let's notice what Paul says about him. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you. See, Timothy couldn't go at that time. So he says, I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. See, the church at Philippi had gotten word, not through texting or telephone or internet, but you know, word got around in those days. They had ways of communicating. And the church at Philippi had heard that Epaphroditus was sick. Now, we heard this morning about people that are sick that we love, and that troubles us. Well, the church at Philippi had heard that Epaphroditus was sick. And let's notice, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. How many of y'all are glad today we serve a God of mercy? See, mercy is when we don't get what we deserve. And I'm glad the Bible says his mercy endureth how long? Forever. It's new every morning. I'm living on mercy today. If I got what I deserve, it wouldn't be good. Well, God had mercy. He indeed was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And listen, I have known people who have been very, very sick with COVID in the hospital, on respirators, and God would have mercy and they would survive and live. You never know when God is going to do that. That's why we keep praying. My niece over in Louisiana, Deborah, Nelda says she's never seen a group of people more prayerful than they are. And God may have mercy, and he may spare Dale. You never know. You beg for mercy. Well, God had mercy on Epaphroditus. Listen, and indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Paul is saying, God not only had mercy on Epaphroditus, he had mercy on me, because if Epaphroditus had died, he said, I'd have had sorrow on top of sorrow. Don't you love that? How many people in this house today love folks enough that if they got sick and died, your sorrow would just be deep? That's where Paul is with Epaphroditus. But God spared him. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye shall see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, listen to this, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Beloved, this young man, Epaphroditus, had the mind of Christ. Even when he was nigh unto death, he didn't regard his own life, but he kept serving the church and serving the Apostle Paul. So here are three examples we have right here in Scripture that had the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And I could spend the rest of the day, I'm about till the sun goes down, talking about women in this book that had the mind of Christ, that gave it all for Jesus' sake. They had the mind of Christ. Furthermore, I could keep y'all till midnight tonight talking about people that I've known personally in my 55 years in the ministry that had the mind of Christ. I've known many right here in this community. I've known them in Alabama, Florida, Mississippi, North Carolina, Texas, California, that had the mind of Christ. They were living for Christ's sake. How many of us today can say with Paul the Apostle, for to me to live is Christ? He said that right there in that letter to the Philippians. He said, my life, really, to live is Christ. What is it that really flips our switch today, turns us on? Well, if you're a golfer and you made a hole in one, that'd probably flip your switch, right? Come on, if you're a golfer, you know that would be exciting. If you're a singer, I mean, out there in the world and you get a big award, that would be exciting. Nothing wrong with any of that. That's good. If you're a kid in school and you make all A's, which I never did, but that would have flipped my switch, I can tell you. I've often said Miss Clara Porter liked me so much, she held me back in the second grade. She just wanted me around for another year. Now, if y'all believe that, no, I struggled. Douglas could tell you probably that, but listen, there are things that happen to us in life that we are thankful for, good things. You have a baby that's born into this world and it's healthy. I'm telling you, that's living, isn't it? That's wonderful. There are a lot of things that we enjoy in life. But I tell you, when it all boils down, to live is Jesus Christ. You take him out, there's nothing left in this crazy world worth living for. Christ gives meaning to everything. It just does. And Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is what? It's gain. My brother E.D. said this before he died. He said, you know, he died at the age of 46 with a brain tumor. And he said to me, not long before he died, I was with him over in Augusta in the hospital. And I was trying to help him. Ginger had to be somewhere else. And he was trying to eat some boiled chicken. You know, that gets greasy and sticky. And I was not much of a nurse. And I let the chicken go everywhere. The knife slipped. He told me, he said, you're the sorriest nurse I've ever had. Well, I wasn't much of a nurse, but he said to me, he said, Sam, pray for me. See, he knew his life on earth was just about over. He did. The doctors could do nothing else. They'd done it all. He'd had his second surgery for brain cancer. But he said to me, he said, the ultimate healing is when you die and go and be with Jesus. Now, you know, we're all going to die. Anybody here don't realize that? Science is not going to come out with a pill that's going to cause you to live forever. And you probably wouldn't want to take it if it was one. I'm talking about and still get old and feeble. We're all going to die. And when that time comes, I hope all of us in this house today will have that sweet attitude to die is gain. Why? Because I leave this world to go and be with Him. See, all I know about Him now is what I read in the Bible and what the preacher tells me on Sunday. But when I die, I'm going to be in His presence. That's gain, isn't it? I want to tell you, the Christian doctrine is the only thing that really gives people any anchor in this troubled world. All other world religions really don't see eternity like we do. We believe that we will fly away and be with Jesus when our body dies, and then He's coming back to get this body and take it home to be with Him in glory. To die is gain. But then notice what Paul said. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. See, he describes death as a departure. See, if you take a loved one to an airport and put them on an airplane, they depart. They don't cease to exist. When your loved one dies, they just depart. And if you put a loved one on an airplane, let's say I put Nell on an airplane and she departs, that leaves me sad, but there's some people in Arkansas real happy that she's coming. Well, there's people in glory. When a child of God dies, there's people in glory just happy for your arrival. See, a departure means an arrival. How many of y'all would want to get on an airplane that just had a departure time? Don't you want an arrival time up there on the screen? Come on now. Well, I'm going to tell you, when a child of God departs this world, he arrives in glory. And it's in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I haven't lost my watch. It's right here. Now, Let me close today by telling you all. We live in a broken, suffering, dying world. I don't know. I'm praying for America. I'd love for this constitutional republic to be around till Jesus comes. I'd love for all of you and your children and grandchildren to be allowed to grow up in a country like I grew up in. But our country is in danger. A lot of people are leaning towards socialism, which is not healthy in my mind. I don't know about the future of our country. We ought to be praying for it, praying for this upcoming election here in Georgia. I understand all that. But let me tell you, beloved, no matter what happens in this world, Jesus died on that cross 2,000 years ago and won the victory. And He won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And everyone Jesus died for has been saved by His precious blood. And someday Jesus is coming back to get all of His elect family out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe on the face of this earth. And it's multiplied billions. And we're all going to fly away and be with Him in heaven someday. Now, I want to tell you, you say, well, Brother Sam, I just need some right now to help me. Well, I think this would help you if you could hear it and receive it. It just gives meaning and joy. Gives us hope. I want to tell you, hopelessness is the worst place in the world to be. God's children always have hope. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Our hope is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may God help us to have the mind of Christ. Would you join with me a moment in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning acknowledging that we are sinners. And in ourselves, we cannot have the mind of Christ. We battle with thoughts that are not appropriate, that are not right. We ask you now to help each one of us. Help us, Father. We know what the text says, but to put it in practice, we need help from above. Would you help us all to leave here today, letting the mind of Christ dwell within us? We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.